This is Mile High.
We have to do it better in order to move people along.
Up, down, inside out.
If you get your mind right,
it is not. It is a receiver of thought.
Because love is my first technique.
It's now time for the show.
Welcome to the Mile High Podcast. This is your host, Dr. Daniel Knowles, coming from an elevation of 5,280 feet. And I'm really grateful to be spending time with our guest today. He's one of my favorite people in chiropractic, and you're going to love this interview as well. Before we delve deeper, I want to remind you, clear your calendar if you have not already, for Mile High, August 16th to 19th. Get registered, www.milehighchiro.org. And if you're listening to this podcast on one of the many stations, whether it be iTunes or Stitcher or on Facebook or on YouTube, wherever it is, hit the subscribe button so you never miss an episode. We have incredible content coming out every single week. Right now, I am really excited to welcome for the first time to the Mile High Podcast, Dr. Bruce Steinberg, who will be joining us this year at Mile High, August 16th to 19th. And again, he's one of my favorite people in chiropractic. He graduated Palmer College, and he practices up in upstate New York. And he has an incredible program working with people for mental health. And this is going to be very exciting to talk to. And welcome to the episode, Dr. Bruce Steinberg.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Well, we're grateful to have you. So first of all, starting off, tell people a little bit about you, how you found your way into chiropractic and into the focus that you have.
Well, I want to use that famous cliche that, you know, I didn't find chiropractic. Chiropractic found me. I got my first adjustment when I was 19 years old. And the story goes way back to, you know, traumatic, stressful birth and delivery process. And I was a sick kid, sick all the time, allergies, tubes in my ears, all that kind of thing. And when I received my first adjustment, I remember it was C2, and I remember breathing better for the first time, and my sinuses cleared out, and I was like, all right, I don't know what the heck that was, but whatever it is, sign me up. And I knew immediately from my first adjustment what I was going to do for the rest of my life. So that, you know, that's how the story goes. There's more details, of course, but that's just it. I knew from that first adjustment what I was going to do for the rest of my life and what I was going to dedicate my life to. So obviously it's not a job. It's a calling, if you will.
Right. How old were you at that time about?
19.
19?
I was 19.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm jealous of, like, you know, the generational chiropractors that, you know, it's like five generations. They've been adjusted since they were in their mommy's tummy kind of thing. And I was like, wow, I'm jealous of that. So, but no, I was almost an adult.
And where were you living back then? Where was this?
Actually, right here, you know, 30 minutes down the road kind of thing. So it's upstate New York, born and raised. And for those that don't know, upstate New York, it's not New York City. It's like about 3.5 hours north of the city. So it's more towards the Canada side of the state.
Well, we'll have to talk about this at Mile High. We have a very similar background in that. I similarly had some challenges with allergies and such and got chiropractic care as a teen and turned my life around. So we'll have to catch up on that later. That's the case for many people. So, yeah. You know, they're their own miracle story. So now you have developed, I've seen you speak a number of times. I'm so thrilled for you to be out at Mile High this year. Last year, your other half did an incredible program for chiropractic assistants. I'm grateful for you to be out there this year on the main stage doing a continuing education hour. I've seen you do incredible presentations at the Berkshires on mental health and chiropractic. Can we talk about that?
Yeah, it's interesting because I've been sort of given that title of the mental health chiropractor. It's really funny to me because I sort of stumbled across it because, you know, I love the nervous system side of the equation, the neurology, because, you know, there's a lot of chiropractors out there that say things like, you know, I'm a doctor of the nervous system, yet they never actually do anything to objectively measure the nervous system before care, during care, and afterwards. And So I was like, okay, you know, what are some things we can do in-house? And so as I was doing all this homework and looking to see what the profession offered, even outside the profession, I started to realize, wow, there was this amazing connection between the brain and the gut. And you start to look at the conduit, like the vagus nerve and the autonomic nervous system. And as you start to put that all together, which I get into during my presentation at Mile High this year, you start to realize, oh my gosh, it's like we help people with mental health issues almost by accident, kind of thing. And so when you start to look at the rich history of chiropractic, because, you know, I see all those green books behind you, so I know you're a student of the history of our profession. There was an amazing part of our history where there were mental health hospitals, what were called sanitariums. Yeah. And it was funny because when I was doing homework on this, I found out there was one 35 minutes away from where I am over in Vermont. I knew nothing about that.
Wow.
And so, yeah, so we have this amazing history of helping people with mental health issues, yet we don't see these hospitals today. And it's a topic that you don't hear chiropractors talking about. You know, we hear things about the immune system and, of course, musculoskeletal issues and everything else organ-related, but why don't we ever talk about mental health? To me, it's a logical extension of the conversation we should be having in our office day to day.
I absolutely agree, and it is in my office. I know it is in many offices. I'm glad you're actually bringing that to a forefront for people to pay attention to it, because obviously, I mean, I was told this when I was in chiropractic school, oh, we're doctors of the nerve system, right? And mental health happens to be part of the nerve system, last I checked. Right.
Yep. Exactly.
So, and you did an incredible presentation on this at the Berkshires a few years back, which is why I'm so grateful you'll be sharing this year at Mile High on this topic. What are some of the things that you have seen in this area?
Well, gosh, I mean, I think one of the big ones is anxiety. That's such an epidemic nowadays, right? You know, we live in a lifestyle. In a time where our lifestyles are extremely fast paced, you know, it's like we're in that constant S shift. We're in that sympathetic dominant state, right. Yet we're missing that ability to recover. And as a result, you know, when you have companies like CLA and other companies that offer the ability to measure heart rate variability and the ability to measure resiliency and the ability to adapt, it's like, wow, you know, we are really positioning ourselves to completely lead this generation and turn the ship around. But it has to start with awareness, and then we need to have that conversation. And I believe that the presentation I'll be sharing at Mile High will connect the dots and hopefully inspire the chiropractors to say, you know what, yeah, sometimes I give classes on migraines, or I give classes on ear infections or things of that nature. Let's bring a class on mental health. We could talk about mental health issues of depression and anxiety and OCD and things of that nature, because it's an easy one for us to make.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And we have a rich history of it in the chiropractic profession, which most people don't realize. And it's very important. And we've seen it in many different approaches, and people say this all the time. Mental states change dramatically, especially in the areas that you mentioned. And of course, we don't want to say that we're treating something. However, a healthy spine and nervous system always yields to greater function, not just physically, but mentally and emotionally. And that's part of a person's health picture, clearly. And we want to acknowledge that rather than not acknowledge it or minimize it for sure.
Yeah, that's why I said we almost helped them by accident, you know, because it's all connected, you know, the sensory motor, the afferent, efferent. It's like there's no way not to help these people. But I think chiropractors, it's going to be a challenge, because it's a conversation that, since we're not used to having, we have to start somewhere. And that's actually why I teamed up with Dr. Steve Tullius to create a program called Mental Health Matters, to give chiropractors the ability to bring a talk like this in-house, the ability to market it, and the ability to have that logical progression. Because I think we as chiropractors sometimes get stuck on that next logical step where we have this great idea and we want to do it, but it's like, well, where do we begin? So that's why I'm really hoping that this presentation is going to be a catalyst to see that movement start in our profession.
Excellent. And let me ask you this. Was there a particular case or patient or particular moment where it piqued your interest in something maybe you saw in care for people?
Yes and no. I think yes from the pediatric world, because, you know, in our country, they lump ADHD into a mental health disorder. So when you're talking about like one out of four children, it's like, wow, that's a high statistic. I mean, that's a lot of people we could be potentially helping. I always saw it in my career kind of thing, but it wasn't until I started to look at the connections and started to actually focus on it. As an example, you know, like I think our profession would benefit greatly from more case studies. You know, even if it's just one individual, there's a lot of power in that, especially when you start to collect it. So I started looking for rubrics. You know, one of them was called the Hamilton Anxiety Questionnaire. And what you do is, like, when you give a new patient their paperwork, you give them this questionnaire, and it's simple. It takes them a whole, like, 2 minutes tops. And what they do is they fill it out, and then at a progress scanner, a reeval, you give it back to them and have them fill it out again. And you can literally track these changes in levels of anxiety by simply focusing on correction of the subluxation. So as you said, we're not treating the symptom, yet it's changing as a side effect. So yes, I started to see it in, like, in the pediatric population, but it wasn't until I started to actually pursue it that I said, wow, this is powerful. So it wasn't an aha moment, if you will, but it was more of like a gradual onset.
Well, I think it's a really important point. And I'm going to talk about my experience, because it can relate to exactly what you just said directly, which is so frequently, because I do network care, and my experience with that as a patient, when I first discovered chiropractic, and I was like, wow, I saw the emotional and mental changes in people, and this is before I was a chiropractor, and then I would, when I went to chiropractic school, I talked to people about that, and I was so enthused about it, because I thought this changed a person's whole life, their outlook for life, and that was what I equated chiropractic was. And when I would talk to other chiropractic students, they were totally in the world of musculoskeletal vision of chiropractic, right? You know, and it was a shock to me, because I was like, wait a second, chiropractic is about your whole being, which is certainly your mental health and emotional health and mental well-being and function. And I'd seen that repeatedly. So I think it's a very good bridge in communication to helping people that have pigeonholed chiropractic into a musculoskeletal world to realizing that it does affect mental, emotional states.
Absolutely. It's such an easy step, you know, especially if you look at the, you know, you're obviously in Colorado, you know, so you already are very familiar with, you know, Spears, you know, Leo Spears, right. And he had that massive hospital. And it's interesting because you can actually pick up his book called Lengthening the Shadow through the Association for the History of Chiropractic. And it's unbelievable to think, like, what one individual went through to form this massive system. And it's like, wow, why don't we see that nowadays? And I think if we can... You know, there's politics obviously in there, but man, imagine if we can bring some of that old school charm back to chiropractic in the miracle cases, if you will. And I think we can, but we need to use the science to help us make that bridge.
Absolutely. He's one of my heroes. I'm actually looking right now, right behind the monitor here. I have a picture of his hospital that someone actually took out of the Spears Hospital in Colorado. Had sitting in their garage, and he gifted it to me. Because I think it's an incredible testament to chiropractic. I know it wasn't a completely straight chiropractic operation. However, they did miracle things. And you want to see more of that in chiropractic. And, you know, I think, why not? Why not a chiropractic hospital institution today, right? I mean,
absolutely.
No reason why not. And we help people on such a big scale. And he did some amazing things. And something that many people don't even know existed was the Spears Hospital. And actually, there's a few people that come to Mile High that used to work there. And there was a person that delivers face paper to my office. He actually was the main distributor for them. That was his account, was the Spears Hospital account, which is, you know, for everything, for all their needs back in the day, which is pretty cool.
That's super cool.
It's super cool. And it's something that's a vital part of our history. People should read what you just said. And there's another one, Pioneer or something, that's about him. I'm trying to remember what it was. That was absolutely phenomenal. So, and that being said, great that you're covering this topic. Now let's talk about that. How did you develop this material with mental health, and how did, what, you know, we talked a little bit about spurring interest in it, but then where did it go from there?
Well, I mean, if you jump out of chiropractic and you look at it from, you know, the allopathic world, the medical perspective, you know, they focus so much on it being a chemical imbalance, it being a serotonin deficiency, if you will. But when you start to look at the research, you start to realize they were wrong. It's not even like our opinion that they were wrong. Like, they actually admitted that they were wrong. there was a huge study, and it, at the time it was the biggest study and the most expensive study ever looking at the world of mental health disorders, and it was called the STAR-D trials. And it was this four-tiered system, and you know, not a lot of people know about that, but it's amazing because you know, during that STAR-D trials, when they said, "Wow, you know something? It's really not about the serotonin," you know, because there's a number of papers that sort of were motivated from that study that looked at things such as, okay, you know, if we put a lesion in the part of the brain that creates serotonin, there should be a massive serotonin deficiency. We should see tons of depression. And when they did this in rats, it was at the dorsi raphe nuclei, what they found was the exact opposite, that not only did the rats not develop depression, they were actually happier. So it's like, wait a minute, how's that possible? You know, there's medications that have similar side effects as antidepressants, as an example. And yet, when a person experiences those symptoms, they think they're taking the antidepressant, so they automatically feel better. It's like, well, how do you explain that? You know, and during the presentation, I'll get into all those various studies. And the really cool part is a lot of these studies, they're recent. You know, they're like in the last, you know, 2 to 4 years. It's like, this is like the newest information out there. And so what basically happened was they came to the conclusion, you know what, we're wrong. And what it has to do with is inflammation. And that's when you can tie in chiropractic very easily. Because at this point, we know a vertebral subluxation is a pro-inflammatory entity. It actually causes the system to shift into an inflammatory state. And so last I checked, everybody's better off without that subluxation. And hey, if as a side effect, anxiety goes away or depression goes away or OCD goes away, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Absolutely. And that's why mental health matters. And as my dad is well known for quoting Donald Epstein, shape, position, tension, and tone of your spine affects shape, position, tension, tone of your life. And this goes back to that and really realizing that really that the shape of your spine becomes this radio station for what aspect of life you're tuning into, like BJ Palmer talked about at the radio station GOD. And what station are you tuned in because of the shape, position, tension, and tone of your spine?
Yeah. You know, I really think it's, you know, this is like another one of those cliche things you hear, you know, there's no better time to be a chiropractor. And it's like, okay, if you're at an event, it's all rah, rah, rah. But I actually believe that's true. And it's not just this is the best time to be a chiropractor. I think it's the most critical time to be a chiropractor. You know, if you think back to these sanitariums and these chiropractors that maybe didn't have hospitals, but they still took care of people with that extremely high level of certainty, they didn't have the research. They didn't have the science back then. But they stayed in their lane. You know, they knew the philosophy, they knew the science, they knew the art. What an advantage do we have now that the science is there, that we know the role of the vagus nerve, and we know the role of the gut, and we have that at our disposal. So it's like, if anything, we should be practicing with a higher level of certainty than the chiropractors back in the day, but yet we see the exact opposite. So I hope it's motivating and acts as a catalyst to say, you know what, let's raise our game, because the community that we serve is waiting for us, and we have the goods to deliver.
Well, I think it's a very important topic. I'm so grateful you're bringing it to Mile High, because I think it expands people's vision. It's very easy for people, even people that are on purpose and feel, you know, subluxation and adjustment are the center point of their practice. It's very easy to pigeonhole that into physical ramifications.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm not just talking back pain, neck pain, but just physical benefits, even physical performance benefits, and forget the mental health, wellness, well-being aspects of that and every aspect of quality of life. And seeing people that have mental disorders for anxiety, depression, and such that then they're taking a slew of medications for, that they don't need to go down that path if they realize that the spine was the gateway to their consciousness and how their brain functioned.
Yeah, I think we're at a really pivotal point too, because the community is starting to lean in. You know, they're starting to say, all right, I want to see what you have to offer. You know, for the chiropractors that focus on musculoskeletal and, you know, they practice in the insurance model and that kind of thing, so be it. But to me, that's like almost like a limited scope in a way. It's like, you know what? Chiropractic helps your life experience is what it boils down to. People are ready. They know we have something more to offer. We just need to tell them. We need to also stop creating barriers for care too. You know, I think sometimes we create that wall. It's like, no, let them fall into our office and then love on them, educate them, and then, well, take care of them for a lifetime.
Yeah. And I agree 100%. Now, you do a Mental Health Matters program. Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. What actually is this amazing thing that was born at last year's Berkshire event? What happened was I gave a talk called The Biology of Depression, and I was actually the first speaker, and it was really, really well received. So much so that Steve Tullius came up to me afterwards. He's like, we need to talk. He's like, because he has the marketing, he has a whole different skill set with that, and I have the science, and we put it together, and this beautiful, amazing program was born. And we launched it in my office last year, and I was like, geez, you know, I don't know. You know, I give talks a lot, and, you know, sometimes attendance is sort of iffy. You know how that goes. And he said, let me take care of that aspect of it. So that was my first ever opportunity to spend time on Facebook advertising. I've never done it before. So I started getting a little nervous. About 4 days before the event, he's like, okay, let's put the ad out. I'm losing my marbles. I'm thinking, should we put this out like 3 to 4 weeks in advance, you know, get flyers out? He's like, no. Facebook, 4 days beforehand. Long story short, we had 41 people registered in less than 48 hours.
Wow.
We got to a point where we had over 80 people registered for the presentation. Wow. Now, I don't know how many offices can actually handle 40 people sitting in their reception area, but we did it and it was amazing. And the really great part was we had a number of people that began care as a result of that presentation. And well, there's also that return on investment where when you take care of people, they financially pay you. So just from that one talk, it made a massive change in not just my life, but in the lives of the people that were in that class as well. And I'm still seeing referrals from it. And the other thing that was a benefit because of it was it actually formed a bridge with some of the medical providers in the community, the folks that work in the mental health community. So it's been a really amazing. So we wanted to create something for chiropractors to be able to do the same thing in their office. And it's been a great success.
Well, I think it's really important what you're doing and also what Dr. Steve Tullius is doing with his other programs, because it helps get chiropractic out of the pigeonhole of musculoskeletal back pain and changes the conversation to another area that's vital that unfortunately too many chiropractors have fallen into a musculoskeletal trap. We know the big idea of chiropractic is so much bigger than that. Let me ask you this. Is there for you or any of the offices work for you? And if this is not something you can't just share it, tell me and we'll go into another area. But for you or one of the offices you work with, is there any particular significant case story or case experience of someone that you saw a shift that was significant in your office or someone else in this area?
True. Wow. Well, the one thing, big thing is seeing people get off of medications, you know, and that's really great because, you know, we preface it with like, listen, you know, I'm a chiropractor. I practice in New York. Our scope of practice, we don't prescribe drugs, meaning we don't tell you to take them. We don't tell you to stop taking them either. You know, so it forms that relationship with them. But I think the number of people that are taking less medication, it's like a huge, huge, huge deal. One of the cases that sticks out big time to me was this fella who he came in, and although he didn't say it at his initial evaluation, at his re-exam, he told me that he was actually contemplating suicide, that he was literally going to take his own life. Yeah, huge. And, you know, this is a person who he was struggling, you know, a young adult. He was in his lower 20s, and he literally had such high anxiety that he couldn't drive to college, and the college was 20 minutes down the road. Now he's driving himself there. He's got this job. He's a welder, and he's got these amazing changes that have happened by one thing, by one explanation, the correction of vertebral subluxation. And it was because his mother was in the attendance of the Mental Health Matters talk I gave in my office last year.
And you know, that goes back to something super important, which is a long time ago, I think I might have been in chiropractic school even that long ago. We're talking ancient history. Okay. Yeah. I was at Total Solution. And Patrick Gintempo said something that was very important, and I still carry this with me. It's one of those aha moments that you hear at a seminar, and like this one thing, the attendance, the airfare, the hotel is all worth it because there was one sentence that impacted you. And I tell people that about all the time about Mile High or the Berkshires. It's like you'll hear all those people, and all you got to do is get one thing that like impacts you, that stays with you for your life or impacts your practice. It just turns a switch. And what it was he talked about how you have a moral and ethical obligation to market, right? You have a responsibility. Don't look at like people, oh, I don't want to market. It demeans me or belittles me as a doctor. That is completely the opposite. People will not. And he was using an analogy of screenings at the time. So Total Solution talking about the unit, it was like, whatever, 20 years ago. And I still do spinal screenings. However, the point is that being at doing things to get out into the community, you have an obligation morally to do that, because there are people those lives will not be impacted if you're not there, right? So for example, you doing this talk or someone saying, hey, I want to put out about mental health impact in my community relative to chiropractic, that person that sits in that talk, if you don't do that, they would not have found that, and they may have been on a life of a complete different direction by not getting in touch with you. So it's really important obligation that you have to get your message out about what you do.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I remember, you know, Chris Kent talking about, you know, nervous system controlling everything in the body and how that altered nervous system affects your ability to perceive your world. And that's exactly what a mental health issue really is. It's an altered perception, you know. And the big thing that I'd love for people to take away is, you know, we have that gift that the community is waiting to unwrap, you know. And like you said, marketing is really important. Like Sean Dill always says, you know, BDC, you know, marketing creates awareness. And I think step one is to create that awareness with the people of our community, whether it's, you know, face-to-face, whether it's through Facebook, sponsored ads or whatever. But to bridge that gap is huge, you know. And I think people are ready to, like, they're ready to practically fall in the door. You know, the minute you even mention a little bit of hope, they lean in closer. They're like, what do you have to offer? And I think that's really special, you know. So that's why Mile High is going to be amazing. And like you said, the aha moment, I call them the golden nugget. And you usually get like two or three from each event, and it's the golden nugget's worth it. I promise I'll be sharing a golden nugget at Mile High this year. Maybe even more than one.
And often I find when I go to something that the golden nugget might be on stage, or it might be a conversation you have in the hallway, or in You know,
yeah.
Like, connecting with other chiropractic teams, or you may not even get it. Your team may get the golden nugget because they're there, and that will pay off exponentially, you know, because it becomes something different for how they then impact the community through your office. So always bring your team to stuff. I emphasize that all the time.
Yeah. And, you know, I got to give a little love to you and Mile High, because last year was our first time, Jen and I, at Mile High, and we were so pleasantly surprised, because, you know, we didn't have doubts or anything, but it actually exceeded our expectations, you know. So whether I was speaking there this year or not, we were going to be getting Mile High this year. So appreciate it.
Well, you know, I'm grateful for that was your experience. And, you know, I didn't really need an extra hobby, I'll tell you that. But
I can imagine that.
But if I'm going to do something, I want to do it right and represent chiropractic right. So I'm grateful that's your experience and so many others. And I am so thrilled about you presenting. When people listen to this, whether they're listening to Stitcher or iTunes or YouTube, wherever they hear this, I would like them between now and then to get to know you and your material better. How can they do that? Is there a website or something that they can link up to you more?
No, I think the two avenues is either live in person. This year, speaking at Mile High, also going to be speaking at Sherman Lyceum. So that's coming down the pipeline in a few weeks. And also at the New York Chiropractic Council's mid-year convention, which is at Turning Stone Casino. A few of us went to New Mexico, because New Mexico, as you know, had some changes over the past few years with their scope of practice. And it was myself, Steve Tullius, Sean Dill, Amy Haas, Bill Deccan. And, you know, I wasn't quite sure to see how it was going to be received. And chiropractors are so hungry out there for the science and the philosophy. And so I think live is going to be where it's at. Or the other option would be I can send people a link so they can actually get a discount to the Mental Health Matters program. But I'd rather them actually attend one of those presentations at one of the events to get a gist for it, because once you see it, that's when you're going to say, wow, there's some serious value in having this kind of
arsenal. Awesome. Well, yeah. We'll also put all those kinds of details about where you're going to be speaking in the blog post that goes along with the podcast, and okay. how they can learn more about Mental Health Matters, because I kind of want them to know you a little bit all before right. then. And I'm psyched to be at Sherman Lyceum with you. You're presenting and I'm presenting. What day are you presenting?
Thursday. Actually, that's going to be a wild weekend, because that's actually New York Chiropractic Council's mid-year convention as well. So I'm going to speak at Sherman on Thursday and then speak at New York on Sunday. So it's going to be a twofer that weekend. It's going to be fun.
I'll tell you, I hope you're not speaking at the same time as me on Thursday, because I want to hear your talk. So I okay. want to talk to Jillian about that.
If not, you can catch it in August.
Yeah, get to Sherman Lyceum, see Dr. Bruce Steinberg and me. And from what I understand, your lovely wife is coming out to Mile High again, too. So we'll see her there. And I'm sure she'll be with you at Lyceum as well. And yep. We're grateful for all you're doing to help chiropractors and their patients throughout chiropractic. We look forward to seeing you a Mile High. And remember, if you have not registered yet for Mile High, time is of the essence. The days are ticking by, no pun intended. www.milehighchiro.org, August 16th to 19th. We look forward to seeing you there. Thank you again, Dr. Bruce Steinberg, and give hugs to your lovely bride. We are grateful for all you do to help so many chiropractors and chiropractic patients around the world.
All right, thank you. Give a big old hug to your bride as well for me.
I will. Like our page on Facebook, www.facebook.com/milehighchiro.